Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
For those of you that know me, I am no stranger here, so what I customarily do is before I begin, I normally have everyone stand up and kind of work out all the kinks and the cobwebs, so I just want you to just stretch and just relax and just decompress and... Now, we're not at the spa, or we're not at ACAC, but this would just be good. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. First of all, I bring you greetings from the Ebenezer Baptist Church here in Charlottesville. I thank you, as always, for this privilege and opportunity. I think, especially in times such as these, it is wonderful to know that as I walk and into this particular building, this is not my first time walking in. We have shared together, we have fellowshiped together, we have worked together in the community since 2007. I believe we're celebrating 10 years now in celebration of working together, either via some of the community activities that we are associated with PACHM and with other activities. So I do not come to you as a stranger, and I think that is significant, especially in times such as these. On this morning, I understand that I am to give you reflections, and so that's what I'm going to do. Your pastor and I, we're doing our pulpit exchange, and at 11 o'clock, he is going to be at Ebenezer. And what we've agreed to do on today is to take a passage out of the Christian scriptures. This particular passage is Luke chapter number 19, actually 16. In Luke 16, there is a parable that Christ Jesus provides. It is a parable of a rich man and a parable of a poor man. It talks about how the rich man is one who lives life sumptuously. His table is always adorned. Every day for him is like going to a wood grill. He is dressed and he is adorned. He has the best clothes. And then it also gives a comparison of a poor man who is not sitting at the table, but he is laying at the gate. He has sores. He has ulcers. He is depressed and dejected. And Jesus gives this particular parable, helping us to understand the days and times that we're living in today. And so if you'll allow me for just a couple of moments, I'd like to hang my reflection on this particular thought. I want to talk about the man in the mirror. The man in the mirror. I remember when I was little, and many of you probably like me, when I was little, we used to always ride the Greyhound bus. And those of you that remember Greyhound, you know, when you're little, you don't think about much. But I believe there's like a life story that you can draw from just riding a Greyhound bus. Because as you know, when you ride a Greyhound bus, number one, you don't know who you're going to sit next to. You don't know what seat you're going to have. You know that when you ride Greyhound, you would love it to be express, but Greyhound is never express. It seems like you stop in every little city that's conceivable in your route to get to your destination. It seems like it takes 3 to 4 times longer than normal. But yet, eventually, you get to your destination. Well, I grew up, and I was able to get my own method of transportation, and so I can leave when I'm ready. I can determine who gets in my car. I can determine where my destination is going to be, and I don't have to have a lot of stops if I choose not to. And wouldn't life, we would like life to be just like that, where there would be very little stops. We could control who gets in the car. We would determine our own destination. But as you and I know, life is not like that. Life is actually, in a lot of cases, like a Greyhound bus. And so I come to you today because this particular reflection, and again, reflection in its original derivation actually means a bending back. And so as you are listening to me today, and as I am sharing with you today,
My challenge to you today is to bend back. What is it that you are reflecting and projecting to the world and to the community that you live in? Because the bottom line is that we come, many faith or traditions and organizations, they meet on Sundays, some meet on Saturdays, some meet on other days of the week. And you come here for a particular reason. You come because you are trying to find something here that you can't find in the world. You're trying to make sense of things. You're trying to find encouragement. You're trying to find understanding and wisdom. You're trying to understand why things happen like they did this past summer in a city of which up to that time you thought was not reflective of that. And when you find a place that you can go to answer and ask those questions that life and the world cannot provide, what is it that you do? And so I'm inviting you this morning to hold up your personal mirror. And I'm asking you this morning to just say to yourself, when I look into my own mirror, what is it that I see? In the parable of the rich man and the poor man, again, the rich man was at the table. He had no need. Because he was rich, he was in abundance. He didn't have just enough. He had more than enough. My friends, guess what? There's a rich man in all of us. And right now, as we are looking at this world and as we are seeing in front of our eyes the world just deteriorate right in front of our eyes, there are many of us right now who have abundance and we refuse or fail to share our abundance. Abundance doesn't mean that you have to have a big bank account, nor does it mean that you have to have great storehouses of food or clothing or anything, but all of us have a gift. And the challenge for us today is, what are you doing with your abundance? There's a rich man in all of us. Think about it. When we walk down the streets and when we see unpleasantness and when we see things that our senses do not want to embrace, you and I know that if we keep ignoring it, then it becomes invisible. I tell my congregation, I thank God for Donald Trump. And I'm telling you why. Because there's nothing that's happening now that Mr. Trump is president that has not already taken place. What he has done is he has made me look inside a little deeper. He has made me realize of how I have failed and how I have failed to share my abundance. Sin did not start when Donald Trump became president. Poverty did not start then. But what his presidency has done is it has given us now even further attention to the many things that we look at but we don't see. And so my brothers and sisters on this morning, it's a challenge to all of us in realizing and asking ourselves of the abundance that God has blessed you with, how are you sharing your abundance? There is a rich man in all of us. In this particular parable, we see the condition. The condition was one where the rich man was at ease, where the poor man was at dis-ease. We see a situation where, again, not only do we see the condition of the two men, but we see the position of the man. One man was sitting at a table. The other was laid at the gate. Think about it today. Many of us have conditions. Many of us are in positions. What are you doing with the condition and the position that you are in? And so on today, my friends, it is a call and a challenge for all of us to take a look in the mirror. And then when you look in the mirror, tell me what you see. Alex talked about the community feast, and I wanted to use this as an opportunity to share with you because many of you do know about our efforts. We have been doing this now for 6 years. This is not necessarily an Ebenezer effort. We just manage the effort. We just lead the effort. But we actually have over 30 organizations that are partnering with us. We have retailers. We have other faith organizations. We have nonprofits. We have other types of agencies. And what we were attempting to do with the community feasts and the back-to-school bash and many of the community activities that you may have become aware of is that we were trying to build bridges long before there was an awareness that bridges needed to be built. And I know that that's what provides a legitimacy, hopefully, and a veracity to my standing here today, because we knew that the world was in trouble long before Trump came. We saw wickedness, and we saw evil, and we saw wars, and we saw men hating men and not understanding that. And here we, as pastors and preachers, we get up on Sundays and preach love, but then we have to deal with the weak. And we are now challenged in asking ourselves, do we actually preach or practice what we preach? And so many of you, as I'm looking at some of you, you have worked with me personally. You have seen times where I had the right answer, and you saw times where I didn't have the right answer. We're all works in progress. But I stand here today with joy. I stand here today expectantly, knowing that what is going to happen now, thank God for Trump, because what he is doing is as he is causing us to wake up and realize the world that we are living in today. And now the call is for all of us right now. What are you going to do? Don't look at the preacher. Don't look at someone else. Don't come in just like the tale of the woman, I believe it was in John chapter 8, where when Jesus was preaching and teaching in the temple, the Bible says the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman taken in adultery. And the Bible says that the scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, Jesus, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. I found that interesting because, one, you know, you had the nerve of some people to bring somebody else in to try to trip somebody else up. They didn't care about the woman. They were using the woman as a ploy to try to trick Jesus. The other thing that I noticed was the fact that they ended up convicting themselves because they said, we saw this woman in adultery in the very act. Well, if it was in the very act, that means you had to be there. And if you were there, what was it that you were doing? And so, my friends, again, as we come today, and as I'm sharing reflections with you, as I'm trying to bend back to you, and hopefully you bend back to me, the question and the challenge is, what are we going to do? Because this is a wonderful opportunity. Obstacles bring opportunities right now here in Charlottesville with the community feast and with other activities. And again, allow me to use this Greyhound bus to help you understand and appreciate better our houses of worship. Our houses of worship are like Greyhound buses. And for those of you that are very faithful and devoted to your church, guess what? I'm a pastor. I've got members who wish I would do certain things a certain way, in a certain time, in a certain manner. But what they don't understand is the church is like a Greyhound bus. I would love to be able to get projects done quicker. I would love to be able to take the express route when it came to certain initiatives. But guess what? It's a Greyhound bus. I'm not the driver. I'm just one who is led by God. And because he understands that there are stops that he wants to make, he wants to pick up more than just me. He wants to pick up you, and he wants to pick up the person across town, and he wants to pick up the person who's down on their luck. And sometimes that takes time. And so don't be too hard on your congregation. Don't be too hard on your church. We're Greyhound buses. You also have your own car. And so go ahead and use that. And if your church is going too slow, or if your church is not going as fast as you would like, get in your own car. And take your own car out for a spin. I love the fact that most of the relationships that I have here at Thomas Jefferson did not come as a result of me coming here, but it came as a result of us working in the community. When I look at Kate, and when I look at Linda, and when I look at many of you that I know personally, it was a result of us working together in the community and learning this community and trying to make sense of this community. And so as I close today, I just close with the inimitable words of Michael Jackson, where, again, I believe his lyrics were this. He says, I'm looking for the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. For no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, just look at yourself and make a change. God bless you.